Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We're here with co-host tonight, Kimberly Inman. Kimberly actually works close with me on real-time paranormal RTP as well as PTAR from time to time. She has her own paranormal investigation team. We're going to be talking about a very special situation, Posttown Elementary School here in Ohio. I had the privilege of being an investigator actually in the school twice. We filmed with Team Rat on Monday with Daryl Wissman. And I'm going to give you a little history on Posttown Elementary School. I'm going to talk about Daryl's story a little bit. I do have some audio clips we're going to try to pull here, but I'm not sure we're going to be able to get them to run. I apologize for that, Daryl, but there seems to be a bit of a technical issue with some of my software here. We may replay the whole situation here in the next week so that you can hear Daryl, but we'll talk about a story either way with Kimberly. We'll talk about Posttown Elementary School. We'll talk about the events that are about to come up to help him, and we'll just kind of run with it. So, welcome to the show, Kimberly. I know this is the first time you've co-hosted with me, so introduce yourself to everybody and tell us a little bit about you. Then we'll get into Posttown and Daryl a little bit.
My name is Kimberly Inman. I run New Century Paranormal Search, which was recently had a name change. I've actually been in the paranormal since I was probably around 4 or 5 years old with experience in my grandparents' old house. That kind of swayed me to wanting to find out more.
Well, that's actually a good thing. I think that's where we all start is, you know, you have a personal experience and then you run into situations. That's kind of a little bit about what Posttown Elementary School is. A little bit of history, listeners, on Posttown Elementary. Posttown Elementary School was a school that I'm going to get into a little bit of detail on here. I pulled up the whole history. Give me one moment to find it here, and then we're going to just read it word for word so that you know. According to the Middletown Historical Society, Posttown and its community located in Madison Township, Butler County, Ohio, actually State Route 4, about a mile and a half north of Middletown, was laid out in about 1818 by Peter Post, which ends in the town of West Liberty. In August of 1848, he named the postmaster Posttown. His salary ranged about $57.20 a year out of West Liberty, Ohio. And from the postmaster, he kind of moved along to actually founding the Middleton area and Posttown Elementary later. Posttown Elementary School opened in 1937 near railroad tracks, where they replaced the old rooms, old one-room school, actually. It was a one-room school, kind of like the old churches and so forth, with a more community-setting school. And it ran for quite a number of years until it actually ended up getting shut down. During that process, the old one-room school became the Grange Hall and later the Middletown Fire Department. And I do believe it's still Middletown Fire Department today. About 10 years out from the shutdown of the school, they had a lot of issues, by the way. The school shut down after many, many years of being in operation, and it kind of turned into a really bad area. There were a lot of people breaking in and so forth. The property in the county decided to sell the property. Daryl Wiseman jumps in at this point, and he owns this for roughly about 10 years. We're going to get into his story a little bit and some of the things that he's told us. But long story short, within that 10 to 11 year period, there have been over 11,000 investigators and people that have visited Posttown Elementary, all saying, when you leave, you will believe. There's been a lot of haunted claims in there. We're going to get into some of those stories a little bit, but I'm going to stick more to Daryl's story because it touches the heart a little bit. And we're actually going to put this in a pre-generation truth small segment of about 30 minutes that we're going to hand off to Daryl, and I'm going to put on the website. It's going to be one of the first things you see about Generation Truth from when Team Rat was there to show you a little bit about when they were there. Just a couple of hints. You're not going to see much because this is a documentary and a show, so you have to wait, guys. But it is going to cover Daryl's story in detail. So keep in mind with that and as we go today. But Kimberly, you haven't actually had a chance to visit Posttown Elementary or do much investigation here in Ohio, have you?
Not yet, no.
one of the things that you'll find, and this is probably the same as where you're at, is we have a lot of haunted schools and a lot of haunted hospitals or asylums here. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I am. I have actually been reading up on some of them.
Listeners, just so that you know, Kimberly, myself, Team Rat, and probably several other investigators are going to be going around as a part of Generation Truth. In fact, we are going to be at the Ohio State Reformatory this weekend filming alongside of Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown for a segment that they'll be doing with Generation Truth that basically tells their story about how they're a paranormal investigator and how they got to the TV show that they have on Amazon. We're actually going to plan on tagging along eventually with Kimberly. And I do believe you're in, what, Indiana, I think?
Yes.
Just right down from us on a couple of exciting investigations there and seeing what we can do to investigate with her. We – early on, the idealism of Generation Truth, listeners, is that we tell the truth of the investigators. We tell your stories. We get to the bottom line. We cover the behind the scenes. We talk about the reality, the real things that are out there as opposed to what you generally see in a one-hour slot on TV so that you understand the whole of what paranormal investigation is. In order to do that, we're going to be tagging along professional teams, which I've talked about many, many times, and we started a rookie team. I hate to say rookie. They're all very professional. They've learned a lot quicker than I did. So I will say we a new team in the field, and they had their first investigation at Posttown Elementary. This happened on Monday. Now, I managed to drop in for a little while and spend just a slight bit of time with them, get Daryl's point of view on things, and record that so that we could discuss it a little bit. Daryl Wisman and his wife purchased the school with every intent on – I guess I could take a – let's take a few steps back. Daryl has been in Middletown, Ohio most of his life. He actually went to school at Posttown Elementary. He was raised around Posttown Elementary, and roughly about give or take 20 years later, again, when we put this in the story that you'll see in the video, you're actually going to have a chance to hear this from his words, and I apologize. I wanted to put that up here, but we had some recording issues, so piping it through was an issue. The recording went fine. I'm just going to have to put it all together into a solid show and then air it next week or the week after so that everybody hears his version. But long story short, this gentleman had a chance to purchase the school. He came into a personal contract with a friend of his that said he would pay on monthly on it, put a deposit down, and that he would cover the taxes and so forth, and he would pay off the school and it would be his. During this period in time, he spent a lot of time and a lot of efforts redoing the school. And first, he wanted to do a haunted house. Obviously, from taxes and so forth, that can be pretty complicated. What happened is – eventually, through a long story that I'm going to let him share on this video, he had a chance to find out that the school might be haunted and that he should be able to get investigators in there and that they'd pay to, you know, take a look. And they did. Now, little known to him, as he's paying on this and setting this up, and he's spending a lot of time and effort restoring this school that he spent many, many hours and thousands of dollars on, did he know that the person he was paying was not paying the taxes? It went in tax foreclosure. Daryl bid on the home or on the school. Unfortunately, the man that went into foreclosure with purchased that over him. Now there's the threat that the Posttown school may not be that wonderful haunted historical place that's been there for years. And Daryl might be out of a home. Now, this has had over 11,000 investigators. Most of you listening tonight that have been paranormal investigators have been there before. They're having a April 14th, Christopher Maggard. There's going to be a gentleman from The Walking Dead that's going to be there. There's going to be a magician that's going to be there. They're having a nice little save post town, come and see what a paranormal investigator does, have some fun event. I encourage everybody to do that. We'll go over that again. But it's a wonderful place. The history says that there was a train wreck that affected the town, and it was a massive train wreck. There was roughly about 70 people, I do believe, that died there. People believe Since the Posttown Elementary School was actually used in an infirmary during this process, bringing the injured over there, that many of the dead, because the wreck was so close, remained at Posttown Elementary. There's also stories from other people in the local community that have shared with Daryl stories about how it was a wonderful place, and perhaps maybe some of their relatives have returned there for one reason or another. So it's an outstanding and wonderful place with an outstanding, wonderful family that manages it. It's very honest and forthright about everything they do. So I'm really passionate, if you can't tell, about trying to save this place. So, Kimberly, tell us a little bit about your feelings about investigating schools.
The ones with the stories I find really interesting. I actually started watching like the movies and stuff, and from my own experiences, I started wondering why they were getting stuff when we sit for hours on end and get nothing at all.
That a lot of them. Every investigation, though, you know, you go out and you spend so much time investigating and so much time collecting things, and then you're lucky if you get one little thing.
If anything at all.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing I think people don't understand is and that now this is a wonderful thing that Daryl and I actually had a conversation about when we were there. He said because he lives there all the time, what investigators get and what he gets are two different things, which makes sense to me living in a haunted house. I could have a paranormal investigator come into that home, and I guarantee you they wouldn't have got what I got. I think it's very important for people to understand when we're out there doing paranormal investigations or when the teams are out there doing paranormal investigations, you're trying your best to get evidence, but what is the reality? You're going to get the evidence of the person that lives there every day claims or been there every day claims or the caretakers or so forth. The answer is 99% of the time you're not. You're shooting for that, how would you put it, small glimpse of reality that they're living with every day.
On some cases, it takes two or three visits before you even see a glimpse at all of what they're seeing.
Yeah, it's and sometimes it can take longer than that. I know some people that have been on one area for got 7 to 10 visits. And then you finally get that one holy crap moment, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah. Those are the ones that make you want to go back more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually what astounded me so much about Posttown Elementary is the first time we went there, the ambiance in this place is amazing, just so that you know. It's preset, you know, it's a school, but he's got some desks in there so you can sit around. There's a journal in every single room that talks about these many investigators that have had experiences. And it goes into details. So you have a journal in every room you can read from the point of view of people that say they've seen something. You have all kinds of these little eerie dolls and things like that. So it, you know, it's set up like a lot of schools. There are a lot of staging events when you go into these major areas. But then you meet the family and you learn the history. And you see how many things have happened in the school. And you just – you kind of fall in love with it. I hate to say that, but it's kind of like some places. I mean, you've probably had a few places you've went to that's like, wow, I just want to keep coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the very, very interesting thing about Posttown. And, you know, there's a lot of places like that. It's just this one's close, kind of like some of your close areas. I know you had mentioned to Joel, myself, Jay, Pierce, which was one of the original founders of Generation Truth and helped build RAT. Jay's actually went on sabbatical for a little while. We are hoping that he returns to the team somewhere along the line, but you know, we all have to take a break from this stuff somewhere along the line. And he did have 23 years of it before he decided to take a little break, so we're all fine with that and ready for him to come back whenever he chooses to. But you mentioned several places actually in your area that that you've been to, what, one or two times, three times now?
Yes, There's a couple of places that, yeah, we go back whenever we get the chance. It's called Mounds Park here in Anderson, which is like a old burial Indian. It's got four or five mounds in the park. One of the, it has a building of the guy that used to own it that's still in existence that our team has been in there a couple of times, and we've got a few EVPs. We've had, some of us have been slapped or pinched, not hard, but enough that it gets your attention, and noises in there that we couldn't even begin to explain. We didn't know where they were coming from.
I've learned that that happens quite a lot when you're in older buildings. You hear the strangest things.
Some of it we kind of thought, well, maybe might be like the building settling, and well, it's quite old, but I'm sure there was like creaks and stuff. So by the end of the investigation, we just had like a couple people in at a time to see if we could tone down on it.
You know, we actually did a little bit of experimentation on that at Post Town. Now, I'm not going to release it too much because I want people to join into Team Rad and Generation Truth to find out what our results were. And we're going to continue to do this. But we actually, because you hear all those noises and all of those situations, we individually isolated portions of the team and videotaped the situation in full so we could see how those things affect you, so to speak. And I got to tell you, I spent a little bit of time, because I joined them quite late on, I spent a little bit of time in isolation before our cameras and glitched and so forth. And I found out some interesting things. The first thing is, when everything goes silent and you're in a haunted place, you, even when you're not scared, if there's any little bit of light coming in, whether it be from a window, whether it be from a hallway, whether it be from your camera, the longer you sit there, the more you swear that that light is moving, that there's a shadow moving left to right, and so forth, kind of like an acute paranoia sets in. And then every little sound just starts to amplify all of a sudden. You know, it could be water dripping from the ceiling. It could be something falling down. It could be somebody walking clear on the other side of the building, and all of a sudden you'd swear it's right in the same room with you.
I've experienced that a few times.
Yeah, it can be a pretty amazing thing to run into. A little bit more information on Post Town, just so that everybody knows. The train wreck itself was a crash in 1910. The train itself went off of the rails. This can all be found at posttownelementaryschool.com, and there's a history area where you can actually click on and find a little bit about the train crash, a little bit about stories on the train crash. When it happened, it literally, when it turned over, it killed roughly about, I'm thinking 70 to 71 people, could be a little bit less than that. Some of them were children. Some of them were actually adults. One of the gentlemen that died in the train crash was a fairly famous businessman here in Ohio. Daryl and his wife have pictures and relations to virtually all of this on the history. Now, he himself, he doesn't like to say yay or nay on the school, whether it's haunted or not. He just likes to express his feelings and experiences, but he likes to stick to the history of the school. Okay, this is when it was built. These are the teachers that were here. These are the rooms and what they're used for, and so forth, which I think is a very amazing portion of a person, and it shows how honest a person can be. I don't know how many times I've went into literally hundreds of haunted locations, and the first thing they do is just dive into the haunted history. I don't really want to hear about a haunted history.
The whole history is what you want to hear.
Well, yeah, I want to know about the history. I want to know about the building. But you can leave the haunted part out, because – and I'm a stern believer. I don't know about you, Kim, but I'm a stern believer of I don't want to know much about a location when I walk in.
I'm the same way. I mean, we touch base, and there's a couple members in the group who will do research. But there's a couple of us that we don't want to know anything when we go in. We want to go in blind. because that way if something happens, it's not something that, oh, this is happening all the time, so this is why we're seeing it.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly the case. I just simply, if I walk in, I walk in from a scientific point of view. Now, most investigators, you know, they either like that idea or don't like that idea, but I'm there to collect data, whether it be camera footage, EVP, filming other people, whatever it is, I'm there to collect the data for this. The least I know about the location, the better off I am, because that way if Kimberly died in the building, then, and I don't know you died there, if I go in and I'm running six recorders and Kimberly comes up on two of the recorders saying her name, then I can leave that up to the team to match later. And hey, look, we might have something here because I didn't know that. I didn't know who she was. I can't relate two and two together. It says Kimberly. According to the history we pulled after that, Kimberly died there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It just, data-wise speaking, it's more logical that way. Indianapolis has some incredibly haunted places. I know that a lot of people have went through Indianapolis and Indiana and done everything from the famous ones. I know that several people have actually done the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, believe it or not, to some more localized areas. So, I mean, what are some of the more famous haunts around your area?
There's a lot of like urban legends and stuff that we've investigated, not really found anything. I think it's basically urban legend, but I mean, it's just getting involved in it that's more interesting. There's mounds around here. There's in Louisville, which is where I grew up when I was a kid, they have the Geyer Opera House, which is the only gaslight theater left in our area. And then my grandparents' house, which is actually right next to a the railroad tracks, which there's history there as well.
You know, theaters, that's another thing that I absolutely love. But I know that people go all the way back to the early theaters. You know, like acting and opera and so forth. And they always talk about how those are haunted. But I wonder how many people ever thought of a movie theater.
The possibility would be there if it was older and it had history.
I think it would be. I think it's a lot like schools and a lot like excuse me, hospitals and churches and so forth. If you really think about it, I mean – some of these places, for instance, Post Town itself, there's a lot more positive stuff there than there is negative stuff there. Even though people get scared, it seems to be that it's a school where people went to school, so there's a lot of positive energy there and a lot of positive things stay there. And I've heard that a lot about a lot of schools and a lot of churches, as an example, having hauntings. Well, you would think a movie theater would be the same. If it's an old movie theater from, you know, when they started to do early films in the 1920s to 1940s, all the way up to 1950 to now, you would think that there may still be some people there. What about that film guy when you had to operate those big cameras and that was his job, that was his idea, the guy that founded the damn – excuse me, I shouldn't say that, but founded the theater. You know, a lot of times these guys, they were just film guys. So they'd buy that big expensive film camera. They'd get that film on there and they'd play it every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's got to be some history there, you know?
Yeah. A lot of the teams that we've actually went along with, it seems like the general aspect is if a building is old and decrepit, it's automatically haunted. And a lot of the times it's not.
That's, you know, I think something that's common throughout paranormal investigation. A lot of people assume when you say something is haunted, it becomes haunted. But what's the reality of most of these places being haunted? How many people have ever asked that question? How many people have ever actually physically looked past it? How many investigators go out with the assumption that it's probably not going to be haunted? Now, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I do that. But how often do you see that?
Not as often as you would think.
Yeah, I would say less than 1% of the time. And in the reality of things, I've been to a lot of haunted locations. I've been to tagged along a lot of people. I'm about to start it again so that I can videotape it. A good percentage of these places, you go in and you get squat.
Exactly.
So is it really haunted? Well, you go back again because you want it to be. You go back again because you want it to be. And you go back again because you want it to be. But the reality is a good percentage of the time you come out empty-handed. That would mean the answer would probably be, though a lot of these places say they are, you don't get anything. Now, I will say, honestly, Posttown Elementary had a lot of stories. It had an amazing family that lives there. An amazing history. There's been a lot of paranormal investigators that came in and out. So I kept that in back of my mind when I went there tagging along first with Paranormal Journeys. And Gavin and Paula were very wonderful. Gavin, Paul, and Joe were very wonderful allowing us to tag along there and tag along at OSR as well as Waverly so that we can get some video of some real investigators. I appreciate everything that they do. But I was under the assumption that I wasn't going to get anything. Now, both times we were there, the whole evening I would get virtually nothing. Now, this last time, the crew that went there, they had problems with the batteries draining really quickly. I think it might have been the cold weather, could have been something else, but you couldn't get things to operate more than maybe 15 or 20 minutes at a time. So it was a real task. And then the more professional cameras with the extended life batteries, when they're supposed to run about 3 to 5 hours, they would run about an hour and a half. So you had to kind of space out the battery charges. We went virtually the whole time in this one, and I will say we didn't get much of anything, but they did get some communication. I'll have to excuse everybody, excuse the background there. When you start doing my live, you'll notice that I have I call him my ghost cat. I have a cat that sits in the studio with me. So he likes to fuss every now and then when he's hungry. And then production company actually lets him out the door to eat. So if you hear him meowing in the background, that's just the ghost cat.
Might hear a dog on my end every now and then.
Well, when we get the lives running here in April, just an update on Paranormal Truth and Reality, everybody. April, we're going to be launching Paranormal Truth and Reality's website. I don't know if you caught some of that or not, but it's going to have a link to Rat's website, which is the new crew. It's going to have a link to Generation Truth. It's going to have a few bits and pieces introducing you to Generation Truth and Team Rat. It's not going to tell you much about the documentary. Again, you guys are going to have to tune in for that. If I were to give you everything for free, you're never going to watch it. So make sure you go to the paranormal conferences. Keep an eye out on YouTube. Keep an eye out on Amazon when we have it out. And we might very well have it at the end of this doing two-hour stints on the Discovery Network. We're still working out details there. So that's kind of hopefully. But hey, the idea here is to make sure that it gives back to the paranormal community. So the key thing is look at the film festivals, go to the paranormal community gatherings and all the nice little events, and you'll see us there. You'll have a chance to see it hopefully on a little screen and a big screen behind you, and we'll hand you out some DVDs to give back to the paranormal community. It's going to have Daryl's story. It's going to have a lot of other stories there. And we're actually going to have some interactive chat rooms and a lot of other things. So I would keep an eye out for that because it's going to be very interesting. In fact, I'm encouraging Kimberly here, since she's a part of Real Time Paranormal, along with Joe and several other people. They've talked about in the past doing podcasts and so forth, and it's a great avenue for them to shoot podcasts out on the website. So you might even see Kimberly here doing some little podcast events going, hey, guys, it's Kimberly and, you know, RTP, Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm from my investigation team, blah, 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 and doing her little thing, which is great. It's a way to give back to all of you that have been giving to me for, gosh, almost 23 years now. So let's talk a little bit on some of the things that you yourself, Kimberly, and myself and everybody, not only see in the paranormal community, but why we try to explain them?
A lot of times I see things claimed as paranormal that isn't. And I think a lot of the time that is because if somebody can't explain it, they automatically assume it's paranormal. With me, what if I couldn't always explain it, I've always asked somebody else first to find out. I mean, that's usually how you learn and expand your knowledge and actually are able to pick up on what's real or what's not.
You know, those are keys that I think a lot of people don't quite understand. For instance, orbs.
Oh.
You and I both know how much we debunk orbs. I just had a conversation with Joel Myers on the intricacies of doing that over Facebook. Because you and I both know a lot of people post up images. Some of them are wholeheartedly wanting a paranormal occurrence. Some of them do it just to, for some reason, irritate the paranormal community.
I think so.
And, you know, orbs are most of the time, 99.9% of the time and above, and I would say above that, almost 100% of the time when you're using a digital camera, are dust, insects, contaminants, moisture. A lot of people don't quite understand the term pareidolia. And now this is a term the old investigators have used for a number of years. Pareidolia sets in anything. Whether you're listening to a recording for 8 hours, and I can assure you guys when you're listening to recordings for 8 hours, you're going to hear things that aren't there. Looking at an image for 5 or 6 hours, or you just looked at it the first time, when your brain can't decipher something or it looks too hard, all of a sudden something shows up. There's really no way around that. Now, what we find out in the paranormal community is one of two things happen. People assume it's a ghost, and they're set on it, so they run for the next 10 years, and every orb is a ghost. Or you have that rare situation where maybe the lady or the husband or the father or myself posted that picture because we really wanted to be in contact with a loved one that we lost. Maybe we lost that loved one recently. And the paranormal community tries to explain the logics involved in it. But how often do we actually think about those personal feelings?
I see a lot of that as well. Instead of somebody trying to explain something to them, I mean, and not get rude or everything, I see a lot of people respond negatively, like, it's just dust. Or, I mean, they will downright get rude at these people. And it's like, they may not know what we know. Our place is to help explain to them, not make them feel bad or put them down.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. That's why a lot of times when I go about it, I want to hear the history of things. Reality is, when we're looking at a picture, we can't explain the whole situation. I recently explained that to everybody about some pictures that are shared through Daryl at Post Town. They're wonderful pictures. In fact, there's one of a little boy. It looks like he's either holding a little doll or there's a little girl in front of him. And sure, I could probably debunk that picture. However, I don't know the history of the picture. I don't know the history of the situation. I was not the investigator that took the picture. I don't know the lighting of the situation. So why not just say that's a great picture?
I've done that as well, because a lot of times you're not there. You can't explain what's going on.
And sometimes when you get there, you end up with the same situation. You know, I tossed away some evidence that I personally took from the first investigation there because I would be able to debunk it. But I can't quite explain it. From a few images, it's okay. Well, I'm going to say that this is dust because logically, if I were to throw this out, other people would probably agree with me. To some blurs that regularly I would say is motion blur, but the camera was stationary and not moving. So shutter speed maybe, since it was on an auto shut up, you know, auto shut on, shut off, taking the pictures. Maybe the shutter speed was too quick.
I've seen it too quick. Sometimes it's too slow as well.
Yeah, there you go. Too slow and so forth. But, you know, I'm not a photography expert either, which is one of the other examples that I try to let everybody understand, even on RTP. A lot of times, you know, the people taking these pictures, they're not photo experts.
Right.
And they're doing it for personal reasons a lot of times. So if you're catching that person as a personal story, get into the story before you start to rip the person apart. And at least if you're going to rip them apart, be honest about it. I know you've seen me say it many, many times to people, look, I could come in and I could physically debunk this for you and tell you what I think it is. But in the long run, does that really matter if you want to believe that it was your mother, your son, or your daughter talking to you? No, it doesn't. Believe that.
No,
it makes
really.
You feel better.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts anything.
And now let's get into the other reversal of that. The one privilege of Post Town is they don't fake anything. Daryl tells the truth about everything. Like I said, he's a wonderful gentleman. He wants to express his story. He wants to express how he's been through this. He wants to express why he's going through this. He wants to express what he's doing and about his family and about the history of the school and about the history of the people in the community. Just so everybody knows, he's let the firehouse do drills there. He's let the police department do drills there. He has a safety shelter for if the local trailer parks in a local area floods, they can come there during a flood or a thunderstorm or so forth, or a dangerous event, tornadoes, whatever it is. He leaves his doors unlocked for people to come in for emergencies. He's taken care of several people that had nowhere else to go. So he's a wonderful gentleman with a wonderful story, and he just wants to tell that story. So they don't hide anything, if that makes sense. However, you and I both know there are people from time to time, and I want to get into this with you a little bit because it's an interesting thing to talk about. I was hoping we'd have some callers call in tonight, but I advertised at the latest minute, so maybe we'll get a few that call in and talk a little bit about Daryl. If not, then we'll be glad to talk about him anytime. But let's talk about those people that love to use ghost apps.
Yeah, pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, well, pet peeve of everybody's. They just don't talk about it much. Yeah, listeners, just so that you know, 99% of the Facebook groups that you'll go on about the paranormal, you're going to find people that throw up ghost pictures, and they're going to and UFO pictures, not just ghost pictures. They're going to throw up these pictures and go, "Hey, check this out." And at first glance, if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to go, "Wow, that's cool." But for the investigator, it's a headbutt because you're like, that is Photoshop. That is a ghost app. That is something you can purchase on a regular basis or even get for free these days. Download it on your phone. Takes you about, 5 minutes to do or less?
Correct. Actually, yeah, it does. I actually talked to you about it. We started that ghost app group, which we list of take pictures of like the ghost in the image that you see a lot of people trying to pass off as a real ghost. And then apparently some of them actually have what the little yellow balls that they say are orbs now too.
There's actually a program that can give you all the different colored orbs and make them look nice and shiny and even put faces in them.
Yeah, they have those.
Yeah, Ron Cross and I actually went through some of those programs out of curiosity. It was an amazing thing. He sent some pictures over to me and he said, "Hey, look at these orbs." I mean, they look pretty interesting when you're looking at them until you realize they're done from a software program.
Right. There's actually a couple apps I've run into where you can add images onto a live video now.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you could always do that a little bit with Photoshop, but you have to know how to do it because you're taking two images and then you're ghosting one image and putting it over top of the other image. So you really have to have some understanding of the program.
Basically have to break it down like it was a GIF where you have each separate layer.
Yeah,
I was in shock when I found it. I'm like, oh, great.
And to me, I don't know why people would do this. Okay. I get some of the UFO things because it's just videographers, you know, they're digital designers and they want to make their thing. So they throw out something because they're sci-fi oriented. And then all of a sudden thousands of people grab a hold of it when they just meant for that video to be, hey, look at my work.
Right. I've seen that a lot too.
Yeah, and I've known a couple of fairly famous production companies now, actually, that work in digital that's happened to. One of them actually, they did some work for The Mist, the remake of The Mist, with the larger creatures coming out of the smoke and so forth, and they released some of the images that weren't used in the movie. Because they had permission and they were working in a digital product. Somebody took those images, slapped them all over the internet, and now we had the forthcoming of a monster.
Yeah, that's enough.
And one of the digital production companies that worked with Independence Day, the new Independence Day, not the old one, but the second one that just came out, they were doing some early shoots, and it didn't get into the movie because it looked too much like the original movie.
Right.
So they put up on their website, you know, to promote the fact, hey, look, we're doing Independence Day 2. We've been contracted in. These are some of the shots that got rejected. People copied those shots and threw them out on UFO sites and swore to God they were UFOs.
Yep.
You know, it's just amazing how many fake things come in that make people question too much when you walk into a real area with real people that have real stories and real history and so forth. I think that's what's tainted a lot of the paranormal society, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it. A lot of people, I think people are just wanting their 15 seconds of fame.
Well, I think that's got a lot to do with it. 15 seconds of fame and then the commercialization of the paranormal. We are a business like anything else. I know it frustrates a lot of investigators that are out there. I know a lot of investigators do different shows. They a lot of podcasts complain about it, but the reality of things is we are a commercialized business now. And now it's gone past science. It's gone past just regular investigators. So you are going to have the more famous locations. You are going to have people wanting TV shows. You are going to have TV shows that are out there.
I think there's always going to be a fan base for it. It's just something that's...
And as
it's something that... Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. As you build on anything, money comes in. You know, I mean, it takes a lot. For instance, Ohio State Reformatory. It takes a lot to keep up the reformatory. Yes, they do weddings there. Yes, they do haunted tours there. Yes, they do history tours there. But the paranormal side is what keeps OSR going. The average investigation there runs about $1,300, just like Waverly and anywhere else. That's very, very expensive. It's monotoned to the business world because they know you're going to get a group of investigators. You're going to go in there. You're going to get this done, right?
Right.
That's called business. What people don't understand is there is still a science to the paranormal. It goes more than slapping everything into a one-hour show. And I think that should be separated so that people can understand. TV's great. Zach, really, to be honest with you guys, everybody I've ever talked to that have met the guy, they state he's not a bad guy. He is a businessman. He does understand the gig. He knows what he's out there for. He knows what people watch. There's an audience for it, and he knows how to promote that. Is there really anything wrong with that?
I don't think there is. Entertainment-wise, I watch it, but not for the reason.
Well, and that's the thing. It's designed for entertainment.
Exactly.
And that's the thing I think people need to understand. These guys work really hard at their job. At every one of these ghost shows, they work really hard at it. Even when they get to the point to where the production crew set everything up for them, they still work very hard at it. Some people more serious than others. When you get into the YouTube shows and you get into the Amazon shows and you get into the Netflix shows, some of these guys really want to show as much paranormal as they can, and they're fairly honest about it. When you get into TV shows and the networks take over, you have 1 hour to put together 8 hours worth of stuff.
And you have to make sure it's interesting enough to keep people wanting to come back and watch more.
Yep. And that means playing the camera. that means a lot of, oh my God, did you see that? That means a lot of expressions. That means if you're looking at something like Ghost Brothers, you get a lot of corny little statements. You know, all these little things make people come back because they're watching an entertaining show.
I have never watched that show.
I haven't either. The first time I watched it, believe it or not, it's one of the shows that Daryl had in. So he plays it in the background when the investigators are there from time to time. He tries to cycle through the different TV shows that have been there. He was cycling through Ghost Brothers while I was there. And believe it or not, I've seen maybe two episodes, and that was the second one. It was amusing, though, and it was entertaining. And they tried to keep the history in. They talked very highly of Post-Town Elementary. It was entertaining.
Right. I mean, that's the key. They're there for entertainment. They're trying to keep you interested in them.
Yeah. Well, and when you get into the science end is a little bit different. Scientifically speaking, we don't look at the term ghost or spirit. Everybody tries to say that means you don't believe in it. That's not true. What we're doing is we're looking at the data. We're looking at the information. We're looking at matching points. We're looking at taking these things and putting together to solidly say, convincingly, there's a percentage rate that proves something exists.
Right.
Then we can take that and we can move it past. We can start running test results on that. We can start looking for specific areas or avenues, whether it be infrasound, whether it be some sort of form of light we're not looking at, infralight, whatever you want to look at. And we can test those variables to see if something shows up. You can't do that until you collect the data. Up until now, the paranormal world has gotten so – what's the easiest way to say that? I would say crazy
commercial.
Yeah. There's so much argument between who's doing what, who's better than who, and blah, 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 that we need to go past that. We need to get back into the fact that you have to understand, you have to share your data. It has to be in a centralized area. We have to be able to take all this and calculate it together. We have to be able to look at the anomalies and say in this particular area, we ran 25,000 results from 27, 37, 57, 100 different teams. They all came up with the exact same thing, not being aware that the other one came up with this. That means that there's something there. So now we're going in and we're testing to find out exactly how we can reproduce this. If we can reproduce it on a logical variable, maybe it's explainable. If we can't reproduce it, maybe we can find out where it's coming from by testing the different avenues. As long as we can't do that, well, of course, guys, you're always going to have that argument out there that says the paranormal is not real. The paranormal is a pseudoscience. Now, when you deal with universities, they'll tell you that's not the case. They'll tell you it's not a pseudoscience. They're fascinated with it. When you deal with the community, I just had three conversations today about the paranormal walking around prepping for OSR tomorrow. We were out at Post Town. We talked to a young kid that actually went to that elementary school. He had a wonderful story to tell us.
Oh, wow.
You'll find that all the time, especially when you start filming. You know, all of these little things, when you move past that want to argue, you realize it's a wonderful community. There's actually a lot of science out there. There are some brilliant people in it. Whether you just got out of high school and you're learning it, which some people have, and you don't really have any other college education. Or whether
started out of high school.
See? Or whether you spent 15 years in theology, psychology, or quantum physics, and you're looking at it. We're all on the same base. We're all looking for the same thing. We're trying to find out what is going on.
Should all consider ourselves a team instead of each person wanting to do their own thing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have to have a good team. That's one thing I will say about Team Rat. They have been a paranormal investigation team for less than 6 months. The team leader, Joel Myers, is an amazing man. You want to talk about somebody that can put together a bunch of tech with little knowledge? Talk to Joel Myers. You want to talk about somebody that will research the crap out of something, even if he doesn't understand it, until he does understand it, like quantum physics, radio frequencies, light frequencies? Talk to Joel Myers. He's an amazing, amazing man. I can't talk enough about the guy. And then you have Brandy, which is his team manager. Brandy Casto has not only a way about herself on the presence of a camera, but she's a go-getter. Amazing woman. You really don't have to say we need to get this done. All you have to do is mention it would be nice if we could get something like this because it's going to help. And she'll go out of her way to make sure it gets done. And then you're showing up at a meeting and she's going, hey, I got your $3,000 camera here, dude. It only cost me $300. Or I got your DVR equipment and I got a 75% discount on it. And hey, it's everything that you guys said you needed. Or whatever it is, whatever you were looking for, she's one step ahead of you. You really don't have to do much but say, it would be nice if, and she's like already on it.
then I actually got to watch some of the live feed that they had during that too. And I mean, in my opinion, they were all very professional.
Oh, they are. Amazing, amazing team. You have Jill Cole. Jill is one of the oldest to the paranormal. She's been around for a little while. She's been an empath and a sensitive most of her life. She's had a Facebook page. Her and I have known each other for, I would say, a good 8 years, maybe longer, over Facebook. She has a talent about her of coming in straightforward and just figuring it out as she goes, and she does it very well. And the last one, Sheila, which is Brandy's sister, you know, for somebody that never really had much time as a historian, never really had much time understanding the town census halls, the Census Bureau, where to find all the history on things, this girl just dived in when she was asked, hey, look, find all this stuff. And within 2 days, she found more things than I could ever imagine. So I can't talk enough about the team. They're an amazing group. You don't find that often. I don't know about you, but when I jumped into the paranormal, it took me a good 8 years to learn a lot of what they're learning in 6 months.
And I'm still learning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always learning. I'm sure they'll learn a lot. And I've taught them a thing or two. They've taught me a thing or two. Jay's taught them an amazing amount to start out the doors with. Can't talk enough about that guy too. He has 23 years of paranormal investigation. He's a very intelligent man. Like most paranormal investigators, he has his way of doing things from the start to the finish, and he taught that to the team, which is great. You know, each team has their own setup, each team has their own beliefs, and that's what I tried to encourage with them. So they've came along very, very nicely, and they did really well at Post Town Elementary. Daryl was a wonderful, wonderful host both times that we were there. And I encourage every paranormal investigation team. He has opened up investigations. He was worried that he wasn't going to be able to do the job in July because his lease was up. Hopefully that lease returns. Visit posttownschools.com, and you'll see it there. Just type in Post Town School, Ohio. It'll come up. There's a donate page. Donate to Daryl. Make sure that we keep this open. He's running investigations Monday through Sunday. They're very affordable compared to other places. I noticed I'd mentioned Ohio State Reformatory at $1,300 a pop. I think the least amount is $600, $700 a pop. Waverly at $1,300, $1,400 a pop, least about $1,200 a pop. You know, a lot of these places are very, very expensive. Daryl starts off very, very well, and you will get something there. You may have to do the whole investigation. The other beauty of him is you're there for 12 hours and you're not limited. From time to set up to time to tear down, if you get in there at 12 o'clock, he gives you until 12 o'clock the next day.
Oh, wow.
So, yep, you get what you pay for. Post Town Elementary is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful history. The family is great. Angela Rivera is actually – she lives with them. She's worked with Daryl for quite a number of years. He helped her out in a couple of things. Hopefully I'll have her on to tell her story as well somewhere along the line. But she started in paranormal investigation because of Post-Town Elementary. Wonderful girl. And they just – you know, they just want to tell their story. Well, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We had our guest host, Kimberly Inman. Kimberly Inman can be found on her Facebook page. She can also be found on her RTP, Real-Time Paranormal, on a regular basis. She's putting together her own website that we will advertise, actually, on Paranormal Truth and Reality's website. She actually has a couple of groups that we advertise on Real-Time Paranormal all the time that are linked to Real-Time Paranormal. Make sure that you take a look at that. I'm going to end this with letting you guys know Post-Town Elementary School will be having a fundraiser. They will be having somebody from The Walking Dead. They will be having Chris Maggard there and a lot of professional paranormal investigators. Make sure on the 14th, go to Post-Town Elementary. Doesn't cost much to get in. Take a look at the site ahead of time. They've got all the information there. Help out Daryl as much as possible. Once we get the recording together here and I get a few things worked out, I'm just going to hand it over to Donald. That should be hopefully next week. It'll run so you can hear Daryl's whole story. Kimberly, I want to thank you for coming. I certainly appreciate it. You're always welcome back. You're our first March host, so I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed myself. Thank you.
I'm going to end this as we do every single week. Remember, everyone, in the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. Whether it's a small area, whether it's a big area, make sure you take the time to learn the people that are there. You'll figure out wonderful people like Daryl and his wife and Angela when you go to these locations. Get their stories. They really...